All right, let's get all the cursing out before we talk about the meat and potatoes. So, all right. Welcome back, Eric Hattie, Everyday Hustle. Hey, so great news. It has only been about 5 days since the last episode, which is, I guess, infinitely better than previous. As those of you loyal followers know, it was 9 months between the previous episode and the one I put out last week. But hey, I kind of enjoyed it. And as I mentioned, I've have some semblance of free time in my evenings now, and God damn it. Just, it feels good to, talk to all 12 of you. So yeah, you know, let's dive right in. So two things I want to talk about. So one, last week's subject, around proactively pay your people. It really, you know, resonated with a lot of people, but it's something I'm passionate about. And it kind of, you know, there was a handful of things that I was trying to say in that last episode, but because I come to these things extremely unprepared, I didn't quite convey it the way I wanted to. And because I was able to acknowledge that I was unprepared in the last episode, I sat down and I put together very detailed notes and I did research, and I've got, you know, resources that I'm going to cite in this that's all bullshit. I once again have 3 bullet points on my notes app, we're just going to fucking wing it. But you know, what I was trying to convey is really a subject in and of itself, which is you are kind of pigeonholed to the income that you enter a company with, because anytime there's an advancement opportunity, it's based off of, in most organizations, it's based off of a percentage up from where you started or what your current salary is in the organization. I.e., if you are, you know, making X and, you know, the position the market dictates is worth Y, but you know, they can't raise you more than, you know, X percentage, 30% or 40%, or in some companies 50%, they can't raise you above that for some arbitrary fucking reason, you're already below market value in the new promotion, which is just ass backwards, because, you know, let's take a step back and look at it from the company's point of view, which is, if you were to die, get hit by a truck tomorrow, they would have to replace you. And in order to replace you, they're going to have to do one of two things. They're going to have to either find somebody else in the organization that wants your position, and or they would have to go hire from outside of the org and find somebody new. The problem is, it's really fucking expensive to go find somebody outside of the organization. You've got to post job ads and you have to go through, you know, time and effort of interviews and vetting, background checks, sign-on bonuses, all of this shit. And at the end of that, you're going to pay that person what the market dictated because they've never worked there before. There's nothing chaining them back. So if the market says that's $150,000 a year role, guess what? You're going to pay them $150,000, sometimes even more. It's a strong market right now. A lot of people looking for a job. In the same example, somebody from inside the organization already working for your company, you don't have to spend money to go find them. You don't have to spend money to background check them. You don't have to onboard them. You don't have to hope and pray that they are the person they said they were in the interview and they actually fucking stick around. And all of those perks and benefits of the person already in the organization, and as a company, you're going to pay them less than market value. Let's say they were only making $100,000 in their previous role and the market dictates that this new role should be worth $150,000. But gosh darn it, we have this thing in our handbook that says we can't give somebody more than 25% raise. So you're going to shortchange somebody who you think is qualified, who's turnkey ready, who doesn't have to go through a month of, oh, there's the bathroom over there, and oh, here's where you go to, you know, do your paperwork. All that bullshit's already done. It was done years ago. The turnkey ready employee. And every company out there thinks that they should pay under market value because of where they started. That's why lately it seems that the only way to advance is to go to a different organization. The only way to advance and be compensated for what you're worth is to leave and go to another organization. And I think that's just fucking silly. You should be able to stay in the organization you're at, advance within your organization, bring your true value to that company, and be compensated for what you're worth based on what the market dictates, not based on a fucking HR handbook. My two cents, I'm a little passionate about that. I know. But it's just, it's silly. It's silly. It's silly. It's silly. I'm trying so hard not to say it's fucking stupid, because ultimately the best people you have are probably already in your organization and they're itching to do even better if you pay them. In other news, I have talked before about taking care of yourself and making time for yourself and putting yourself before everything else in the most non-narcissistic way possible. And so I will share with you a little bit of what's been going on in my life. So for those of you just joining who know nothing about Eric Haddie, if you go all the way back to, well, the amazing year of 1985, Robin and David Haddie were stooping in the back of an Eagle wagon and out comes Eric. My entire life up until, a few years ago, I was obese. I was the big guy. I'm okay. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, it's a wide angle lens, but Eric, you're still the big guy. So in 2015, I weighed 350 pounds, and I was cool with that. I was the loud, obnoxious, chain smoking, drinking guy. I was not Mr. Wears a Shirt at the pool. I was fine with me. Didn't bother me. I loved me for who I was. Still thought I was a sexy bitch, right? In 2015, I did a previous episode about this, so I'm going to give you the abridged version. In 2015, both found out we were expecting my daughter, and I happened to get a really bad physical with a bunch of things that were wrong. I had always said, I'm going to continue living the life I live until doctors tell me that there's some actual tangible reason that I shouldn't. And boy, howdy, it was all there in one shot. Liver, cholesterol, blood pressure, blah, 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 blah. So in true Eric Haddie fashion, instead of just doing the slow and easy wins the race, I went to the extreme and, you know, I kind of gradually got to this point, but you know, a year later, I'm in the gym 6 days a week. I'm doing crazy workouts. I went a whole year without an alcoholic drink or a soda. Then my screensaver started and it fucked up all my lighting. So let me put in my super secret password, Lion's Rule. Okay, there we go. Back to my nice bluish purple tint from this screen. And I'm going to keep my hand over here and move the mouse every now and then so it doesn't fucking do that again. So where was I? Oh, gym 6 days a week, eating really clean. I went from 350 pounds to a year later, I was down 100. And then, you know, a year after that, I was at my lowest weight at 217, which sounds like a lot still, but I'm 6'4" and my mom says I'm big boned, right? And then life started happening, had a toddler. There's all kinds of crazy snacks in the house, but I was still going to the gym 6 days a week. I was still eating within reason, but I was splurging more and enjoying myself. And I went from 217 up to 235 to 245, depending on the day. And I was really good with that. Like I was still bigger, but goddamn, could I rock a, tailored blazer. And I found a version of me that I really liked. I had stamina. I was strong as shit and I looked good and the doctor was happy and life was great. And then this little thing called COVID-19 happened and the gym shut down for 2 months. And then when the gyms did open back up, I still had a daughter who was not back in school yet. And you know, I was working from home and I was working crazy hours and the gym's far from my house, which didn't bother me when I was driving to the office after that. And just a lot of fucking excuses. And you know, my wife, who's probably listening to this, is like, I've told him 100 times, why don't you just turn on an Apple Fitness workout and work out in the living room? Why don't you just get some resistance bands? Oh, you already have resistance bands. Quit bitching. You're being a little bitch, blah, 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 blah. And she's right. I was making a whole lot of excuses because I am a creature of habit and ritual, and I have these particular ways that I want to do things. And part of it is the bouginess in me of I really want to go someplace that has a sauna and a steam room and, you know, eucalyptus infused towels and clean machines and, you know, just the whole works. My stubbornness also with, you know, everything else going on in my life and the emotional eating and, you know, not working out, I've slowly crept back up to, you know, I was over 260 pounds, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and it got to the point where I said, you know, enough is enough. And so I've done a few different things. So one, the excuse of, you know, I'm working from home, which means I'm working more hours and I have this crazy new job and role and I have all these things that are expected of me and blah, 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 blah. That's fine. But I have to put me first. And, you know, I am no good to this company in this role if I'm dead. So I have started blocking out a little bit of time on my calendar. That's me time. You know, and this could be any number of things. This could be, I need to go to the gym and work out. I need to work on my projects for work. I just don't need to be interrupted, whatever. But it's me time. It's fuck off time. And, you know, Microsoft calls it focus time, which puts a nice little do not disturb thing on your Teams. And I rolled my eyes so hard at anyone I saw who was using that until I started using it myself, because whether it's because of it being set to do not disturb or what, people leave me the fuck alone during my focus time and I'm able to do what I need to do. Thing number two. I got over myself and this bougie need to have my very expensive, fancy, bougie gym that's a 30, 40 minute drive, depending on traffic, from my house. I still have that membership. I love that gym. They're building one closer to my house. Should be open later this year. Pretty pumped about that. But I'm still a member there because my wife loves it. I love it. My daughter loves it. She does her swimming lessons there. But I now have a second gym membership with Anytime Fitness, which I've done in the past. When I lived on the other side of the Metroplex, I had an Anytime Fitness membership because my wife was like, yo, dog, you're taking 3 hours to go to the gym, work out, and come home, and we have a newborn, and that shit's not going to fly. And she was right. Theme of the night, Jess was right. But I joined an Anytime again in tandem with my Lifetime membership. And I did this because there's literally an Anytime Fitness right outside my neighborhood, smack dab between me and my daughter's school. It takes me 4 minutes on a bad day to get there. Now, pros and cons. Pros, it's close. They have equipment. They have the equipment I need. And actually, little plug for Anytime here, they have a phenomenal app for iPhone and Android that lays out all kinds of different workout programs. And I forgot how much I loved that. And I'm using it as we speak. Cons. It's a bit of a hood gym. They have one of everything. That's it. They don't have a sauna, but they do have a tanning bed, which questionably has not been cleaned since the last Winter Olympics. And also you're back to, you're in a fishbowl in a strip mall right next to a donut shop. So you're just watching randos walk by while you're busting ass on a stair machine or a treadmill. But moral of the story is I have put it past, you know, I've taken all of the excuses, the negativity, all the reasons that I was telling myself in my head that this shit would not work or could not work, or I didn't want it to work. And I shoved it all out of the way. And now we're taking, you know, true actionable progress towards, you know, doing the right thing. On the weekends, I'm still going to go to my bougie gym. During the week, I'm going to go to my hood gym. It doesn't matter because I'm doing the things that need to be done to get back to the person that I want to be and that I truly enjoyed being. Again, it's not just the vanity of I look good. I truly enjoyed not breathing heavily and sweating like a fat hog going upstairs at the office. And I want to get back to that. So you have to take time for yourself. You know, my boss famously says there's 168 hours in a week. Everybody has the same amount of time. You know, it's how you use it. You know, no one can say they're busy unless they're working, you know, 120, 130 hours and they're sleeping for like four. Then you can say you're busy. But if you say that there's not enough time in the week, you're full of shit. And he's right. So it's about managing that time, putting yourself first in the most non-narcissistic way possible. You still got to be a team player, still got to be a company man. But again, none of those things matter if you are dead, if you have a heart attack, if you have a mental breakdown, any of those things. And we've tried all of them in 2020, 2021, and it's not going to work. So we're making me time. We're carving out, you know, exclusive times on the schedule that work best for you. Thank you, Microsoft Cortana. We're calling that focus time, which is really what I call fuck off time. You know, and not like fuck off, like I'm going to fuck off and not do anything, but like fuck off, don't talk to me. And I guess, you know, just to round it out, fuck off. Yeah, I don't know. We're cursing a lot in this episode, which is probably because in a previous episode, I was really hyping up, you know, Natty Light Seltzer, which is really the summer theme for all the people, you know, south of the Mason-Dixon. But I'm proud to say that we have a new sponsor. It is White Claw. White Claw. When you want to drink static while someone yells what the flavor is supposed to be. White Claw. There's no laws when you're drinking claws. Wow. Off the rails on this one. I am legitimately super excited to be doing these podcasts again. I forgot how much I missed it from not just the vanity of looking at myself on this little viewfinder while I talk to a void of no one. But you know, from a nerding out aspect of the audio mixing and the video editing and trying out new things and different things and educating myself on, you know, Adobe Creative Cloud. And there's just a million reasons that I truly enjoy this. It's a nice little pastime. It's therapeutic. It's whatever. And if you enjoy any of it, that's cool. That's just a happy byproduct of me, you know, filling my time with shit that brings me joy. But I am truly excited to be doing these again. I'm happy to be back. As always, I'm looking for ideas. I'm looking for people to interview. I do really want to get back into the interviews. I really flourish in those. Those are some of my favorite episodes that I go back and listen to. So this is my shameless plug. If you have a great idea, kick it over to me. If you have someone you think I should interview, kick it over to me. In the words of every YouTube content creator ever, if you like this video, I appreciate it. Click the like button, smash that subscribe button, click the notification button, leave a comment if you feel so inclined. And guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I'm Eric Hattie. This is Everyday Hustle. And I promise the next one won't suck.